Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
The 3 weeks of Ohio State recruiting camps have come
so
to an
good
end.
At this.
Oh,
and that's the
I just realized.
That's the exact number of things we talk about on Three Thoughts
Thursday. I didn't even put that together. Happy Three Things Thursday from the beat. That is an ecstatic Jeremy Birmingham. And I am a humble Austin Ward here to talk about an ongoing, very busy June for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I thought it was an accident. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the beat.
Turn that mood around. Turn that frown upside down and tell me what you think the most interesting thing you heard in June so far is.
Oh, boy. I don't see. One of the reasons that I don't always love this episode.
No,
as we,
this is what. Is, this is better
beat,
than when I.
Is that I don't. I never know what you're going to say. So then I have no frame of reference to actually ponder.
This is a throwback Three Things
what
Thursday with no script.
What your question is going to be. To be honest, the most interesting thing I heard is, and I'm not going to say who said it or whatever, but the regular and repeated concern from Ohio State that on the recruiting side of things, that mm-hmm. they simply don't know how these other schools are operating the way they're operating. And we talked about it on Snap Judgments on Tuesday afternoon, but schools like USC, Oregon, Texas, they just seem to be still working with collectives, which is apparently supposed to not be allowed. And they're just going to run through the stop sign. And I think Ohio State's like, how is this okay? And so I think that there has been in the last 48 hours or so since that episode of Snap Judgments was released on 97.1, the Fan's YouTube channel on Tuesday afternoon, is that people, oh, Ohio State's going to fall behind again. Here we go. The Buckeyes are not being aggressive. Buckeyes are more than willing to be aggressive, as they showed a year ago when they were the $20 million roster that everyone in the country was lamenting. But they are so calculated in what they do and so careful in how they move that at times it feels like they're behind. And they don't feel behind, but they feel annoyed at the way that other universities around the country are still skirting what everyone has been told is the new way, and the new way hasn't even begun. So, like, how are people able to circumvent these regulations and these plans when it hasn't even started yet? Like, how is the gray area so gray already?
I remember having this conversation like 5 years ago on mm-hmm. a signing day, mm-hmm. and I know that you felt, well, Ohio State is falling behind, and they aren't as aggressive, and they're not.
I was wrong.
And I'm not saying that to say that you were wrong. I can understand the sense of that in the moment. But a long-term plan didn't just put a national championship trophy in the lobby of the Woody or a banner on the practice field.
Yeah.
It kept them out of trouble, financial trouble, NCAA trouble, which doesn't really exist anyway.
Kept them out of the Old Miss to Texas A&M,
and I think
Florida State quagmire that we saw those schools get into.
Those are the programs exactly that I was going to talk about. Texas A&M decided to push all of that money to the table. It wasn't real money.
Yeah.
They were just poker chips like you bought at Target. They had no currency. They weren't from an actual casino. And then 1 year later, they had 47 players in the transfer portal because the checks were bouncing or the money that had been promised was not showing up at all. So, yes, in the moment, you feel frustration. You yeah. feel annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
You look and you see recruiting battles that Ohio State expects to be very competitive in and win, and they fall by the wayside. And then they may have to circle back, or they might not get a second chance at it. But it led them down a path where the right fits were there, the right finances materialized. They had a vision that they saw through. And they're going to have to do that again. And there may be short-term pain, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. It's more, I think, as you call it, annoyance and frustration rather than a setback to the competitive yeah. excellence of Ohio State.
It's the perception, I think, that bothers Ohio State's coaches. The Ohio State program is comprised of people. Like, these are people who read, they see, they hear. And so when you are a program like Ohio State, one of the top in the country, unequivocally, one of the top two or three programs in the country, probably overall health, the number one, probably the number one football program in the country.
They are, right?
Well, I can't prove it.
All right, here we go. I'm going to prove it. Who's the national champion?
Ohio State.
Who had a perfect APR score?
Ohio State.
Who's?
Now, these are all solid arguments, but
who's the number one television?
The point is it doesn't matter.
Who's on the cover of EA Sports?
If they're number one or number two, yeah, it doesn't matter.
They're number one.
What matters is that they are able to see that, like, the fan base gets exceptionally frustrated because Ohio State has been recruiting a player like Tyler Atkinson, who I brought up on Tuesday, who now, you know, it's out there officially. He's going to visit Texas this weekend, not Ohio State. And they were in it, you know, so they're in it for the whole time. And then the Buckeyes hit a point of no return in a recruitment with a player or their family or their agents or whatever, that they say, hey, you know what, we're going to wash our hands of this. And the perception becomes, well, sure they did. Okay, that player just told them, we don't want to be there. So the Buckeyes didn't really walk. Like Ohio State has the power to do a lot of things that other schools are using as a cover story. Mm-hmm. There's the old, like, well, we didn't really want them anyway thing. Ohio State loves these players, and they know that they need players like that to win championships. But you can get players like that that don't have all of the other stuff going on that make it a lot easier to win championships, because if you are babysitting a college football player or trying to make someone's daddy feel better, you are focused on the wrong things. And Ohio State, I think that, and I guess I'm doing it now, in some way, I think they wish they could stand up on a mountaintop and be like, pay attention, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, well, and I think it should help, right? That we had these conversations 4 and 5 years ago where it was like, are they ever gonna adjust? Are they gonna walk up to the edge of the line? And it was like the patience, the prudent approach, the long-term vision all paid off. So
do you think that some people just assumed that that approach, that patience, was a direct correlation / directive from Gene Smith, and that there is a mindset that, well, Gene's gone and now the Buckeyes will be more aggressive because that's Ross Bjork's personality? Or do you think that people are fundamentally misunderstanding that the decision makers in the football program are Ryan Day and Mark Pantone?
I think it was presented as an athletic department and collective issue.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and I don't think that I could assign or point a finger in one direction or the other. There's not credit or blame. I think everybody does work collectively and pretty cohesively. But at the end of the day, if Ryan Day is not comfortable with it and Mark Pantone's not comfortable with it, I don't really think anything is going to move forward. I don't think it is in Ohio State's larger mindset to be a habitual line stepper.
Yeah.
And they have paid the price for that in the past. So they're not in any hurry to break rules. They're also not in any hurry to disrupt the culture that is winning. If something changes and Ohio State is no longer able to execute this plan by playing within the boundaries that they've set for themselves, which I think it is fair to say, well, whether that is Gene Smith, whether that's Ross Bjork, whether that's Ryan Day, whether it's Mark Pantone, it doesn't matter. They have decided what limits they are comfortable with and what they think makes sense for building a team. It's sort of like, I don't want to give them credit, but it is the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers have operated for so long. I don't know if it'll work. They have come to the point where they're like, we have to do something different. We're going to bring Aaron Rodgers in. Ohio State isn't at that point.
Yeah, but Ohio State, they decided a year ago, we have to bring in someone else. Like, they have been calculated in a way to say, when we have to do something, they're willing to do it, but not if it means passing the line.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, now let's make it. Ryan Day has been very, very resolute in his, like, decision making over the years of saying, okay, this isn't working, we're changing it. Or this guy is no longer, like, if you walk around the Woody over the last 3 weeks, you're like, well, there's a lot less people here than there used to be in operations, and like they're doing all of these things at once, and I think that it just gets lost in the sauce that people, like, only see Savion Hyder, running back from Virginia, who will take an official visit to Tennessee this weekend. Like, there's a big buzz this week because he's apparently mad at the Michigan media because his dollar amount that he's expecting as a true freshman has been released to the public somewhere in the $800,000 range, which Michigan apparently and Tennessee are willing to pay, Ohio State is just not going to do because that is the price of their entire running back room.
Yeah.
Like, how does anybody expect Ohio State to earnestly look at James Peoples and C.J. Donaldson and Bo Jackson and Isaiah West and Turbo Rogers and anybody in the future and say, well, this one guy is going to get paid, but all of you get paid. And he's never played a down in college football.
Yeah.
It's like that, the minute that that philosophy changes for Ohio State, like the entire culture changes as you're alluding.
And I don't bring that up to justify losing a recruitment or others that they may lose in the rest of the cycle or to.
They do have the number three ranked class in the country.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Or just to use hindsight to justify, hey, they were right all along. Yeah. I mean, you can do both of those things, I think, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I think it is, if you look again at the NFL model, and Ohio State, I think, had been maybe ahead of the curve in adopting that, it's that paying up front and having insanely bloated rookie contracts did not work for the NFL.
They changed their entire structure.
And they were like, they were able to do something to correct that. There aren't, you would think, and this isn't the, you can spend the money however you want now with the House settlement, but you would think that everybody else would look at Ohio State. People keep talking about Penn State with the retention and the blueprint that they're duplicating from Michigan's national title with an asterisk, and then Ohio State's well-deserved and well-earned a national championship, and saying, keep your roster, pay for your players, and let them earn it as they go along. It is your second contract where you get paid. It is your third contract, potentially, for what we're talking about with college football, where you make your really life-changing money, perhaps. It is not for year one. And so, again, that may sound like an excuse or a justification, but if it is, so be it, because the results speak for themselves.
I think that, and this is me on a soapbox, I guess, trying to explain to America out there, and hopefully this resonates with some who have the perspective that Ohio State is lazy or not willing to go to bat for itself or whatever. Explanations are not excuses. And sure, they can be at times, but they're not always. It's not guaranteed. Like, this is why they're doing what they're doing. And it's not a way to brush off accountability. It is a way to say, this is how we are going to do it. And until it stops working, I don't know that people should be that bent out of shape about it. I mean, again, I don't mean to bring up individual players, and I'm not going to name this one, but there's a tight end Ohio State has interest in the class of 2026 that is demanding and commanding and likely fetching $500,000 as a freshman from Alabama. And like,
not going to name him, but maybe you can figure it out.
Like, yeah. If one of these schools is willing to pay a freshman tight end, a guy who's not going to play for two or three years, that amount of money.
That works to Ohio State's advantage, in my opinion.
Long term, it does, absolutely. And even short term, I think it does, because you're and we had a similar thought process recently when it came to the defensive tackles and not going after them in the transfer portal. When you go back into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and you sit down in the team meeting room and you say, you guys, we believe what you're doing, we're not going to break the bank. We're not going to change our model because we don't think you're good enough. Let's say we believe in you. We've recruited you. We're developing you. Win for us. And I think that actually has some benefit long term, because the players that are in the room are going, hey, at least they're not, you know, Ohio State is always recruiting the next best player. Like, the minute you sign, they're recruiting a guy to replace you. But at least they're not going out of their way to say, well, we're desperate. We have to pay $500,000 for someone to replace you, even though you're not making that, and we would never pay for a guy that's not going to play.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly understand.
I know it sounds like sour grapes, folks. It's not. I swear. I promise.
Yeah. The notion, when you put it under a microscope and you focus on that specific day and it feels like a loss, I get it. We had these conversations at the start of the NIL era. We had them as the transfer portal era ramped up. It's not that Ohio State was unwilling to use them. It chose to use them in a different way than everybody else.
Has Ohio State's approach in the transfer portal been validated? I think probably so.
I would say.
Has their approach in NIL been validated? I think probably so. So you just have to allow yourselves, if you're a recruiting fan, which I hope people are, because I love it. It's the lifeblood of college football. It is the best 365-day-a-year soap opera in sports. But taking a step back and saying, okay, let's look at the big picture is important. Ohio State's going to host 17 official visitors this weekend. They're not giving up on recruiting because they're going to have the same direct, honest, and forthright conversations with every one of these kids and their player and their parents that they have for the last few years. And the right ones are going to say, you know what? It's worth it to us to take that little bit of less money in order to be a part of this program.
Yeah, I agree. What's the most interesting thing you saw in June?
Most interesting thing I saw.
Yeah.
Why don't you start?
Okay. Well, I've talked about it a lot. The physical transformations.
Of Arvel Reese, the 11-footer.
Yeah. And we were on the Buckeye Show with Brandon Beam on Tuesday night. And when we get to these stock watches, there's just this part of me that can't believe that Arvel Reese is going to do the things that I expect he's going to do. I saw the spring camp. I've seen the workouts. He was out there every single day for these five camps. And I really don't know what it means. I don't know what Matt Patricia is going to do with the linebackers. I can imagine a scenario where Arvel Reese and CJ Hicks are both contributing up front to the pass rush and playing some on the edge. I've heard enough about it. I've seen enough hints at that throughout spring football. Again, just five open practices, but just with his physical gifts, it's hard to imagine that he wouldn't use him. But I don't know how he keeps growing. It's crazy. Remember, was it before the Rose Bowl? Which notebook was it? Maybe it was at the Cotton Bowl. It was one of them. And you said to him, are you getting tired of people saying that you look like Jeremiah Smith? And he just kind of laughed. And he's like, yeah, I'm Arvel Reese. But it was like,
also, he doesn't look like him anymore.
He's towering over one of the most physically imposing offensive players that I've ever seen. And I just can't wrap my mind around what that looks like once you get to the season. And it's hard to wrap my mind around what I'm actually seeing right now in the physical development. And there may be people that are like, why don't you just cool it? Like, you guys are going over the top with the praise for some of these guys with the way they've transformed their body. I'm telling you, if you buy a ticket, which they're on sale right now for the first three practices of training camp, July 31st, August 1st, or August 2nd, please go out there. He's not going to be in full pads. And tell me what you think when you see Arvel Reese.
It is a reminder that these are 18-year-olds when they arrive on campus, and nearly no one was a fully formed adult when they were 18. I said nearly.
Yeah.
We get to see these guys grow up, and it is remarkable what someone who is constantly telling you how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, when to work out, how to work out, where
experts
to work out.
Experts in their field.
Experts. If it's like Chris Hemsworth, for example, right? Okay. Thor.
Uh-huh. The God of Thunder.
It's like, okay, just work out all the time, eat correct all the time, and you can look like this.
That was Odin that was telling him that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you have people, it's the power of a program, I guess, right? So if you have the ability yourself to get into a college football program, you should do it if you want to look better.
That's great advice.
Yeah, so just a little nugget.
Yeah.
What was the most interesting thing I saw?
So I may be a broken record. I've certainly name dropped Arvel a ton, but I want to make it clear why. It still doesn't mean that, as you've said and boldly predicted, that he's going to win the Butkus this year.
Did I say that? I just said he's going to be the second Buckeye I picked in the NFL draft next year.
I think in the spring review rewind
did I say he's
preview,
win the
I think he said that he was going to be, or at least the finalist.
He's a Butkus finalist.
That he would be ahead of Sonny Styles in that.
Correct. I still believe that.
I'm talking about what I am seeing at this exact moment in June. It's ridiculous to look at and amazing. I'm gonna wait and have some patience for training camp, for the Texas game. Like, okay, what is a reasonable expectation now for on-field production? But in terms of workout production, I'm ready to call that.
His workout production is producing effective workouts.
Yeah.
I might be a victim of recency bias. I may be a victim of the moment here. And again, I feel at times when we do Three Thoughts Thursday, et cetera. Maybe we're expounding on stuff that we've already just talked about in previous shows. What I saw this past Tuesday, make of it what you will, I'd never seen in the last 3 years. And we have discussed the affection that people around the building at Ohio State seem to show for Matt Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
Number of times. I saw an embrace on Tuesday between Matt Patricia and Larry Johnson on the practice field working out college prospects, working out campers. And I thought to myself, self, that is something I never saw the last 3 years, where I would see the defensive coordinator who, in similar mode to Matt Patricia right now, he's just navigating all the fields and practice fields and going from the indoor to the outdoor and checking out different positions. I never saw the previous defensive coordinator and the legendary defensive line coach have that kind of chemistry. We talked about it a lot over the last couple of years. It doesn't need to be rehashed. But I do wonder if the previous existing relationship that Matt Patricia and his reputation and his approach and his mannerisms and his very far more personable personality than we ever imagined he would have, if it has disarmed in some way the oftentimes cantankerous Larry Johnson.
I think,
and I think, how that translates to the defense.
I think there, it's like anything. There's multiple layers to it. I think
there's layers to this.
I think the way that last season played out, Larry was doing a number of interviews in the second half of the season, or he would talk to people during the playoff. He mentioned to one of the national reporters, it was like, oh, it was Bruce Feldman, I believe. It's like, well, what's the narrative now? He was hyper aware of that.
And pushing back against it.
And we were part of that. And I asked him about that, I believe, after the Cotton Bowl. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think the validation for him, and it has not, we can continue to look back at years where it was up and down, sack production, questions about the rotation, snap counts for everybody, recruiting success. It's all fair game, but it's this. You can also take the same approach that we're talking about with NIL and transfer portal and everything else. His way wound up leading to a national championship. The way that Jack and JT and Kenyatta Jackson and Ty Hamilton and Tyleek Williams played, Ohio State's not winning a national championship without the defensive line playing at that level. And he recruited those people and he developed those people. And I think that validation has also, we speculated, well, maybe that would be the time to go out. Got another national championship. You don't have to do it again. You have a really difficult job rebuilding that defensive line and rebuilding the rushman for next year. Maybe you don't want to do it. I feel like that vindication for him personally, which he clearly feels, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's certainly the way it appears, has re-energized him. The way he's moving around the practice field looks different than a couple years ago at these camps. The way that he's communicating, as you mentioned, with Matt Patricia looks very different. So I think Matt Patricia is potentially more collaborative because he has, he's not married to one specific system. I think his personality helps, but then Larry Johnson has his own part, which is like, now I have a new challenge and my way still works. I can still do it. I can still get after it. And so I think it's many of those things, but the way that he's carrying himself looks a little different.
I think that there was and I don't mean this in a derogatory way at all, Larry Johnson has always been somewhat stubborn in the way he handles things. And I think that the stubbornness of Jim Knowles and him just rubbed in a way. Like, we talked about this a lot last October after the Oregon loss. Something changed. We both heard from different sources, different people, like, this is what's changing. Ryan Day's doing this. Jim Knowles is doing this. Larry Johnson's doing this. They're being more collaborative is the word you used, and that's correct. Like, they're trying all these different things. And I think that Larry Johnson, probably rightfully so, took some umbrage to the idea or the notion that he was being castigated or
blamed
for that. Because I think that everyone had a piece of the puzzle, but whatever changed made a big difference. And if you can have an increase in chemistry between the defensive coordinator and the best defensive line coach in the history of the game, how can that be anything but bad?
Yeah.
Or anything but good for Ohio State? So I think that it brings to a bigger point, which is a coaching staff that replaced two defensive coordinators, or two coordinators, offensive and defensive. Like, there's no lack or loss in cohesion from last year's staff, which is important because you're replacing a lot of key players. But I think that this staff might actually be closer than last year's.
We've said cohesion a lot in the show.
Yeah.
What's one thing, Berm?
We've also said 1870 society and foundation.
Now you want the collectives back.
If everyone else is going to use them, Ohio State may as well too.
What's one thing you didn't see or hear in June that you wanted to?
Boy, these are really difficult questions.
I wanted to see Julian Sain and Lincoln Kienholz working out, monitor the progress.
I
didn't see it.
I would have liked to have seen more of the quarterbacks out and being front-facing. So I'm going to take yours because I think
it has to be, yeah.
Like, and I'm wondering if that was intentional.
Stay away. We saw Eli Brickhandler come out.
Right, but like we've barely seen Tavian St. Clair. He was only out there the one time,
That's true, yeah.
And that's because his brother was there working out. So I do think that Ohio State seems to be being very intentional and purposeful in saying, hey, quarterbacks, don't give the media any opportunity to create a narrative or tell a story or form opinions based on nothing. But from our perspective, I certainly would have liked to have seen them more.
Just something
that
I would have
liked. I think it was last Thursday's camp. I happened to be there early enough to see the team finishing up their workouts, and they were doing some running drills. And in one group, Julian Sain was the first person in line, and they're like, ooh, look at that.
Oh, no.
The last person in line was Lincoln Kienholz. And they kept saying, leader from behind, the leader from the back. So like
they flipped it on you.
So they're both leaders. One was in the front, one was in back. And then at the end of practice, I could see from across the field, like one quarterback standing in front of the team and giving thoughts. And that was Julian Sain. And then Lincoln Kienholz did the same thing. And I'm like, okay, this is confusing. So I really do think that they're still.
Give them both chances to do it.
We have scoffed at the notion in the past that Ryan Day was having a true quarterback competition. Even in 2023, when Kyle McCord and Devin Brown clearly were, there was a pushback from most people in the media, not just you, but I mean, you were certainly one of them. You just said, hey, Kyle McCord is who I think is going to be the starter. And, you know, you ultimately were right. But I think we probably did at times underestimate how tight the competition was.
I definitely did.
August. I don't feel like this is Ryan Day doing shenanigans or theatrics. Like I think they truly are not confused, but waiting for someone to emerge and say, this is my job. And I wish we would have seen them more in June. But I get why we didn't.
100%. And instead, we'll just have to speculate wildly again for the next month and a half. It'll come up a lot. At Big Ten Media Days, which is now within a month.
Neither of them will be there.
They won't.
We are confident about that.
I will boldly predict Caleb Downs.
Uh-huh. Sonny Styles.
And I believe representing the offense will be the best wide receiver in America.
Yes. Who's that?
Jeremiah Smith. That's my prediction.
That makes sense.
Now, it's not guaranteed. It's not locked in. I think two out of three are locked in.
I think the defensive
I don't see any way you cannot take Caleb and Sonny.
We'll have plenty of time to break down these thoughts.
We'll do that another time.
A bold prediction. You have to take Jeremiah. Otherwise, people are going to laugh at you.
Yeah. And I think they will. But we'll talk about that as the...
And he'll hate it. He'll hate every minute of it.
I think he'll like it.
But do you want all of these changing people in your building in August? No, you don't.
Get it all done
in July. We're going to talk about this
in July.
Over the next couple of weeks. Because guess what? June's entering its last of 2 weeks. I guess there's two June weekends left. But this is the last important one for Ohio State.
Then it's vacation time.
Because then it's vacation time. And then we have 3 weeks of talking in July to talk about stuff. So, America, we need your help. The off season is long.
Too long, some
say. It is dark. It is scary.
It's full of terrors.
We need your help. We need content ideas for July.
Send us some mailbag questions. If there's a series that you want us to do.
What is that email address I created for our podcast?
I don't know.
I'm going to put it
in the
YouTube description. In one of the YouTube descriptions, I'm going to say, hey, if you have content ideas, email it to blah, blah, blah at gmail.com.
Did you create one?
Yeah. I sent you the thing and I said, here's the password. And you're like, okay, cool. And that was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we have definitely not used it. But now it's time. And I'm going to put it in the comments of this show.
So a series that you want to do, a mailbag or two, send it our way to whatever that email address is that will be in the comments.
It's something like tabspodcast at Gmail.
No. Maybe that's why I didn't open it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very generic and terrible, but we need your help because July is coming. And yes, there will be commitments. There will be recruiting stuff to talk about for the first week or so. There will be kids who stupidly commit on the 4th of July. And we're going to be like, why would you do that? You're wasting your moment. But regardless, there are things we need your help with, America. And first and foremost on that list is content. Second on that list is hitting the subscribe button to the 97.1 YouTube channel if you're watching it on there or on whatever podcast platform you're listening. And then make sure you hit the notifications button and that we're working on cleaning up some of the amount of content that's coming on this feed. And I think that does impact people's ability or desire to
understand
to hit the notifications, but you know, we'll get there.
But we appreciate
I'm rambling again.
I always ramble, America. Appreciate you watching and listening, or both. And we will be back again to talk to you on a Freaky Friday.
I hope you're watching and listening. If you're watching and not listening, I have some questions.
This has been Three Things Thursday. We'll talk to you later.
They track, they target, prices can climb. StartPage is the private search engine that helps keep what you look up online from becoming a price tag. Try StartPage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.